Sagey, my granddaughter. It was really close. And what'd you say, Larry?
She's prettier, but you're cuter.
She's prettier, but I'm cuter. That's what Larry said. Larry doesn't lie. He's a man of his word right there.
It's true.
Glad you're here this morning. Are you ready to worship? You know, we come, there's a great song called Audience of One. And I love that. It's an old worship song. And we sing to an audience of one. We worship to an audience of one. It's not about us. It's about Him. So let's pray and invite His Spirit in. Father, You are so good. We love You. We praise Your holy name. Would You send Your Spirit? Would You, Your presence be with us? Would You surprise us? Would You bless us? Change our hearts. Draw us to Yourself. And it's in that name that is above every name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship.
Good morning. Let's sing together.
May the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord.
Redeemed by His grace.
quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
There's joy in the house of the Lord.
There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise.
Amen. So children, remain where you are, and you can be seated for just 1 minute.
Stockards, where are you at, Stockard family? Are you here, Stockard family? Come on up. Most of y'all know Wes and Kylie and Hudson and Palmer and Price, Stockard. But they come this morning to officially place their membership in our church. It's not a world record, I promise. There's been others longer. Y'all right there. I'm looking around in the front in a sec. So they've been with us for quite some time, and they come officially to place their membership in our church this morning, and that's exciting stuff right there. So you guys have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized in that faith, and we receive that, and we receive your family, your beautiful family. Is Jesus still your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Amen. And will you be loyal to our church with your prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you guys. Make sure the Stockards get a handshake and a hug this morning before they leave. Children, come forward and join Miss Teresa up front.
Today has been such a morning. Give me a minute. I'm thirsty. Have you guys ever been really, 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 really thirsty before? One where you just take that drink and you guzzle it down because you're just so thirsty. Yeah, when do you get real thirsty? What makes you real thirsty? The summer, I heard that already, 90, 100 degrees plus, just being out in that heat can make you all thirsty. What else? Cool.
Doing a lot of things.
Doing a lot of things. If you're just busy moving around outside, playing with your friends, you get thirsty. Are any of you in sports?
No.
Do you get really thirsty while you're out there running around doing your sports?
Yeah.
That can make you really thirsty. You come in, you're like, give me water, give me water. Sometimes we just really have a big thirst. And that is what I'm going to focus on today, because I'm going to read two verses out of Psalms 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? So who, this is David's talking here, who is he thirsting for? Who did it say he was thirsting for?
God.
Good job. Thirsting for God. What does that look like? You're praying and drinking water? Definitely. But yeah, when we are thirsting for God, that means we want God. We need God. We need him to survive what's going on in our lives. We do that in big ways and in little ways. I got to think how sometimes I just take sips of water all day long. It isn't like one big gulp. Sometimes I'm just thirsty and I have something in the morning at breakfast, and throughout the day I'm just drinking a little bit here and there. And so if we're taking little sips of God all day long, what does that look like? What are little things that we can do to be with God all day long? Yes? We can definitely pray throughout the day. Pray before you go to school. Pray while you're in school. Pray before a test when you're having trouble. If you're not sure how to respond to a kid that has said something to you or done something to you, keep God in all those little times. And the other ways? Yeah, there's times when maybe you can, when you ask questions about God, that's bringing God into your life. Just asking questions, whether you ask them of mom and dad or come here and ask us, you're keeping God in your life. How about big times? So the big times that you're going to have a big chunk of God, what do those look like for you? How about when you come here? Is this a big time with God that you separate time out and you're just with God, right? You're taking this time out to be with God. This is a big gulp of water of God that you're taking right now. How long can you go without drinking your water or any drink at all?
3 days.
You think you could last 3 days? I'm not sure I could last 3 days without water. How long do you think you could last? Huh?
Nine
what? Minutes? Hours? Oh, die by 9 days? Maybe. All I know is that I drink my water a lot. I think I would go maybe a half a day before I'd have to have a drink of water. I'm not sure if I'd last half a day. But that's the idea, is that with God, we need him, and we need to keep taking him in and keeping him in our lives, right? And I got to thinking, I know some of you don't read yet, but I want to encourage you to get books that are right in your age appropriateness, because there's books for all ages. So maybe you're not reading the big Bibles yet, but who has books and Bibles like this? You can get a book of just your favorite story. Yes, and you have kids' books that have short 5 minutes. Get mom and dad to read these to you, or big brother, big sister. You have big ones? And then as you get so you can read, I suggest you can get these little books that help you even learn how to read. You get, once again, get your favorite Bible stories and read them. You have that one? Yes.
I don't have that one.
You don't have that yet? Okay. And then I've even seen these now. They have comic book ones that bring God to you. Yeah, because these don't replace reading your Bible, especially as you get older and you can start to understand the Bible. But it's a great place for you to start, even at your ages, to read and get into the Bible and learn the different stories. They, even at your age, yes, ma'am. So I want you to take big gulps of God sometimes, but even beyond the big gulps, take little sips of them all day long while you're praying and just navigating your life on how to talk to people and how to do tests and how to get through tough times, okay? Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thirst for you like a cold drink of water on a hot summer day. We thank you that we can be with you anytime throughout our day. Help us to drink up your word and to pray to you all day long. This, in your Son's most holy name, I pray. Amen.
Hello, Larry. Well, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into the service. If you're worshiping with us online, we're glad that you're with us. You can go in and check in there as well. A couple of events, a men's event and a women's event that we need to speak about just briefly. The Men's Summit registration deadline is the end of today. So, men, if you're planning on going, you can register through the app, through the website. You can scan the QR code on the insert and register that way. And then a women's event is scheduled for the 22nd of February. You can see an insert in your bulletin about that. More information there. I think that'll be a great opportunity for ladies to get together and seek the Lord as one. So if you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I want to thank you for praying for Carlene. She is doing much better. She's out working the crowd in the foyer. If you haven't seen her, you might want to try to catch her before y'all leave today. I'm doing okay, too, by the way. I didn't know if you guys... I'm sure she's been the focus, which obviously that needs to happen. But anyway, we're doing fine. She's making really good progress. Appreciate your prayers. I want to spend time this morning giving people an opportunity to be prayed over, but I want to share a story out of Scripture first before we do that. Mark chapter 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000, and it's really an interesting course of events. At the end of the day, it's evening, and Jesus sends his disciples out on the Sea of Galilee to cross over to the other side. And then Jesus goes and he prays. And then Scripture said during the fourth watch of the night, which was either from 3 a.m. to sunrise, they're in the middle of the sea and Jesus is standing on the seashore and he sees them struggling as they try to get across the sea. Now, they kind of cut across the northern part of that sea, but I read this morning that the Sea of Galilee is 8 miles wide. They're in the middle, so they're several miles away from the shore, and Jesus is on the shore, and he sees them. There's no barrier when Jesus is involved, when we got stuff going on in our life. He can see what's happening. And then so he begins to walk on the water, and this is really interesting. Scripture says that he intended to pass them by, intended to walk right past them. And they see him, and they think it's a ghost, and they cry out, and then Jesus comes, and he calms them. And there's this, seems like there's this principle in Scripture that Jesus responds to us as we reach out to him. I mean, that's seen time and time again in Scripture. When he's going to Jerusalem for the last time, he's passing through Jericho, and there's a man there that's blind named Bartimaeus, And he hears this commotion, and he asks the people that he's by, what's going on? And they say, well, Jesus is coming through town. And he cries out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus heals him of his blindness. And it's almost like Jesus was going to walk right through that city, and probably Bartimaeus would have still been blind if he didn't reach out to him. I think that's a principle in Scripture. So this morning, as we spend time praying for one another, praying over our needs, I just wanted to take those thoughts into this prayer time. I mean, you want a touch from the Lord this morning? He's here. Reach out to him. And you can signify that need by standing. We'd love to pray for you. So let's go ahead and go into that at this time. So if you need prayer this morning, I encourage you just to stand. We'd love to surround you. Love to pray for you. I mean, what does Jesus want to do this morning? That he's waiting on us to reach out to him. He's near, he's close. Anybody else? Opportunity. Church, let's gather around these that are asking for prayer. And if you want to share what your need is, you can do that with those who are going to pray over you. And if not, you don't have to do that. And so y'all just, somebody just lead out in that group, and I'll close when we've had a little bit of time to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And Jesus, you are so sweet. You're so kind, and you're so faithful. You do what you see the Father doing. You say what you hear the Father saying. And my goodness, you've got an incredible track record as far as ministering to people's needs exactly in a way that they're needed. So, Lord, these situations that we're praying into, and there are probably numerous in this room that need to hear from you, need a touch from you, need encouragement, Father, need healing physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I just ask that you just move in power. Lord, would you set captives free this morning? Yes, the enemy is trying to rob us of the things that are rightfully ours because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I pray that you restore Jesus what the locusts have devoured in people's lives this morning. I pray for encouragement. I pray for restoration. I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, would you just blow through this place? Just ask for a radical move of your presence in our lives and our hearts this morning. And we'll praise you for it. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for our chances and to pray for one another, to intercede for one another. And we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I want to thank you, church, again for your financial faithfulness. We got a quick video from our trustee chair that Becky Poindexter that would like to speak about our capital fund drive.
For those of you who don't already know me, my name is Becky Poindexter. My husband Don and I have been members here for over 25 years. We love this church. We raised our children in this church. We met some of our very best friends here. Our kids were very involved as they were growing up in our children's program and our youth program. And Jeff, in fact, was our son's youth minister for a few years before he stepped up to lead our church after we went through a split several decades ago. I think he may have mentioned from the pulpit before that that very first Sunday when he spoke to us, there were maybe 75 of us left. And he told us, he said, I know you may be hurt, you may even be angry, but we're moving forward. God has great plans for this church. And he certainly did. And so here we are all these years later. We have experienced growth to the point that we need to address some needs and to expand. I'm on the board of trustees. I've been on the board for 9 years. I've been chairman for 3, so I've been a part of our planning sessions going back even before COVID. I think most of you know that we planned initially to build a brand new church on our land on Buffalo Gap Road. We got the price tag back from that. We knew it wasn't feasible, and we just felt that God was saying, this is not your path. So we backed up. We were able to take a lot of those same plans and incorporate them into what we're wanting to do here on this site. We're addressing a lot of the needs for our kids, classroom spaces, activity spaces, including a new gym. We'll be able to add adult Sunday school classes, classroom space for our community groups to meet, and a beautiful new sanctuary. But now we are tasked with raising the funds. Don and I have already committed to go beyond our normal giving and fully support our capital fund drive, and I'm asking each of you to join us in that, whether that be $10 a month, $50, $100, whatever you can do. I ask that you prayerfully consider how you can financially support our project. I ask that you pray for the project as a whole, and that you pray for your church leadership as we move forward, that our plans would be God's plans and not our own. We just feel that he is blessing this expansion. We know that he loves Wiley Methodist Church. We fully believe he is going to do far more than we can ever even imagine. It's just going to be an exciting time. I hope you will want to be a part of that. And I thank you in advance for your support and your faithfulness to our church.
You can continue to give online your tithes and offerings or give to the capital fund drive. Also, the offering boxes are by the doors. I want to remind you that we'll have people available for prayer after the service. Let's stand and continue to worship the Lord together. Thank you.
Nothing else.
Anybody feel the Holy Spirit this morning? Amen. Amen. A couple of reminders. Immediately after our worship service today, we will have Brent Aiken. We'll have Brent, worship leader Brent. We are going to vote on whether to sponsor him as a candidate for ministry for ordination ministry with the conference. We're not voting on his ordination. That has to go through a lot of steps through our conference with the Board of Ministry, but we will be doing that. It should be a quick meeting. It won't take long. The SPRC, it was close, right, Brent? No, it was. It was unanimous. But anyway, just right immediately, we'll take a short little restroom break, and then we'll have that meeting right after the church service today. If you are our guest this morning, man, we are so glad you're here. We love guests. We love you being here. Hope that you will feel quickly like more than a guest. You'll be part of our family. If you are a guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe, and it says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I'd love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer. Have a free gift for our guests, and would love to get to know you a little bit. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I want to kind of set this up a little bit. We're going to pick it up in verse 16, but Jesus, prior to this passage we'll read today, Jesus had just told the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And a summary of that parable is, Jesus told this parable where he said a landowner hired some servants to go and work in his vineyard. And he said, work for the day and I will pay you a denarii. And he sent them out in his vineyard to work. And then as the day progressed, a few hours later, he went out and he hired more workers to work in the vineyard. And a few hours later in the day, he hired more workers to work in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, he calls them all forward, and he pays them all the same denarii. Now, that didn't set too well with the ones who had put in an eight-hour day versus the ones who had put in a two-hour day. Anybody else getting their toes stepped on this morning? It wasn't fair, but Jesus has told this parable, and then that leads us into verse 16, Matthew 20, 16. So the last will be first, Jesus says, and the first will be last. Now as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day he will be raised to life. So I want to stop there for just a second. So Jesus has told this parable of the workers in the vineyard he makes this statement, the last will be first, the first will be last. And then immediately after, he tells what's fixing to happen to him as he goes into Jerusalem. So that's the stage. And listen to how some of them responded. Verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at my left in your kingdom. Come on now. Mama doesn't always know best, does she? You know, okay, so he's told this parable of the vineyard, and then he's told what's getting ready to happen to him, and the first thing on Mama's mind and these two disciples is, I would like a place of honor when we come into this kingdom. I don't think they're listening. Verse 22, Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? We can. And he's speaking to the brothers. We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, speaking of suffering. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And here we go. Now the other 10 chime in. When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus can't you just see Jesus just kind of calling them together and go, come on, guys. That's not in there, but I'm sure he said that. Come on, guys. Let me explain this a little further. You're not listening. You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And here's four very important words, church. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these words. Thank you for teaching us. Now would you send your Holy Spirit? We need to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you speak? May my words be your words. Would you pierce our hearts and transform us in Jesus' name? Amen. So started last week and starting and continuing this series, The Upside Down Kingdom. So I mentioned it last week that the New Testament, especially the Gospels, is full of talk about the kingdom. 157 times in the four Gospels, the kingdom is mentioned. John the Baptist announced the kingdom, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, when he launched his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he, Jesus, as he taught many times, he said, the kingdom is like, and he would tell a parable. He would teach. And then even the resurrected Jesus, before he ascends back to the Father, it says he spent 40 days teaching about something. What was it? The kingdom. He spent those 40 days teaching about the kingdom. So I would say the kingdom is a fairly important, significant thing for us to dive into. Today's message is the first must be last. The first will be last. So John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. He was a pastor in England, in the Church of England. And when he was filled with the Holy Spirit and really began to launch his ministry, he had a heart to bring the segment of society that, you know, back in those years, and that's maybe even some today, that you had to be of a certain cultural standing. So you had to wear the right clothes, and you had to be someone of some sort of standing to even come into the church to hear the word of God. John Wesley was trying to change that. He was bringing in the poor and the disenfranchised and the people that were not in that standing. The church scolded him and ultimately ran him off. And even John Wesley had death threats and all kinds of things coming against him because of this heresy where he wanted to preach to the poor. He ended up going out in fields where the factory workers were, and he'd pull up a stump and he'd stand on a stump and he'd just preach to the masses, and he brought thousands and thousands of people to Christ. One time he went back, his father was a pastor, he went back to his church where his father pastored. They wouldn't let him in, so he stood on his pastor's tombstone and preached. That's the kind of guy he was. A few years ago, this was before Billy Graham. Is Billy still in the room? Billy's hiding back there because he knew I was calling him out. So Billy, what's your job description again?
Anything you don't
want to
do.
Okay. I don't know if y'all heard that at this end, but it's anything I don't want to do. So before I had someone to do the things that I don't want to do, that's not true. Anyway, I was here early before Bill and Carlene. We were with our church, and I'm turning on lights and I'm unlocking doors and getting ready for worship. And someone in the church came up to me that was also here early, and they said, there's a homeless guy in the corner. It was cold outside, cold, cold, cold. And there was a homeless guy huddled up in the corner of the church. And I said, well, see if he needs anything. And I went on about my business, and a few minutes later, somebody else came up and said, there's a homeless guy outside huddled up in the church, out in our yard. Well, see if he needs anything. And that happened two or three times. And finally, someone invited him in. And where it was warm, and they said, would you like some coffee and donuts? We've got coffee and donuts. There's a restroom right here. Just make yourself at home. So he's sitting right out here on this bench under the stairs. And then someone said, would you like to come in and worship with us? And he said, I can come in to your church? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Please come in. We're fixing to start church. Come in and worship with us. Okay. And he sat right back there in this back row. And when I got up ready to preach, how many of you, raise your hand if you were here that Sunday? Like, about 10 of us or so were here that Sunday. And I got up to preach, and I started off, and I said, y'all probably noticed there's someone this morning in our worship service that doesn't fit in very well. And I mean, you could have heard a pin drop in the church. And it was almost as if people were kind of, I didn't see anybody physically do this, but it's kind of like, he's right back here. And I said, yes, we have someone this morning that doesn't fit with the rest of us too well. And I said, Mark, come on up. And it was Mark Hewitt. Many of you know Mark. Mark's the founder of Love and Care Ministries and is an old friend of mine. We go way back. And I asked Mark to come and dress as a homeless person to see what we would do with him. And he came walking around, and I was telling the young people in the early service, I call them toboggans, but y'all call them beanies, I think, but y'all are wrong. I'm just saying it's the toboggans that you put on your head. And he's got a toboggan on, and he's got this big, long, nasty wig on, and he's pulling all that, and his coat's off, and he's walking. And everybody's eyes were the size of quarters, you know. And as he's walking up, I said, this is Mark Hewitt with Love and Care Ministries, and he's going to talk to us, he's going to preach to us on loving the poor and disenfranchised this morning. And he brought a powerful message on that. The last will be first, and the first will be last. What do we do? What would we do with someone like that? I heard stories. Mark had done that at a few different churches over a couple of year period there. And I heard one church, he wasn't allowed to come in. It was getting time to preach, and he was going to preach. The pastor had invited him, and he was supposed to come in, and a usher wouldn't let him in the building. Well, you can't come in with that. And he had a bag of cans, you know, he's dragging this bag of cans around and stuff. Oh, you can't come in, sir. And he kept trying to talk him into letting him in, and he would not let him in. And finally he said, sir, I have to tell you, I'm Mark Hewitt with Love and Care Ministries, and your pastor has invited me to preach today, and I need to come in. From what I heard, it was a powerful moment spiritually for that man, the conviction that came upon him. But what would we do with someone that doesn't quite fit? I think Jesus is trying to teach us some things about that. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. So let's dive in here. The kingdom of God, first of all, we need to understand the kingdom of God requires new spiritual birth. In other words, we are not by default in the kingdom. We've been talking about heaven, and one of the things that we're talking about is when we come out of the womb, our destination is hell. I mean, we come out of the womb lost, broken, covered in sin. I mean, that's where we're headed. We need a Savior. We need someone to save us from that destination. And that, by the way, if you don't know him, his name's Jesus. So the same is the kingdom. The kingdom, we're not automatically in the kingdom. There something must happen for us to enter into God's kingdom. So I always love this story, John chapter 3, the story with Nicodemus. I'm going to read just a few verses here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. So he's curious. He has some questions for this guy that's healing people and doing all these miraculous things. But he doesn't come to him in the day because he knows he'll be reprimanded and maybe even removed from his position of power and authority. So he comes to him in the night and he has questions. You can tell he comes to Jesus at night and he says, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." Now, right there in that moment, I feel like Nicodemus is getting ready to say, I'm going to ask some questions, Jesus, to tell me some things here. But right there in that moment, Jesus stops him before he even asks a question. And Jesus says to him, "I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God." So there's an entry that we need. "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Nicodemus, with physical eyes, he's still thinking in the physical realm, and he says this, "How can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb." So you see, Nicodemus, he just still doesn't get it. He's thinking this kingdom is a physical kingdom. And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth once again, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit." Big S, that means Holy Spirit. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Jesus is saying, yeah, there's physical kingdoms. That's not what I'm talking about. That flesh gives birth to that. But Spirit, big S, Holy Spirit, gives birth to Spirit, little s. So what Jesus is teaching us here is that we need to be born again. We need something spiritual to happen in our lives in order to enter, to be a part and enter his kingdom. So he's teaching us that there is a physical kingdom, and it works where we'll talk more about it in just a minute, where there's a hierarchy. But you want to be part of my kingdom, something supernatural in the Spirit must take place in you. You must be born again. Now, some people will teach that he's talking about baptism here. I do not believe that. He's not talking about baptism here. What he's talking about is something we have to experience. We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Baptism, Jesus said we should be baptized. Baptism is important. We should do it. But that's not what he's talking about here in my theological experience and interpretation. He's talking about something must happen in here with the Spirit of God moving in us. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way: if anyone is in Christ, in other words, if we're going to be part of this kingdom, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Something transformative must happen in us. Secondly, the kingdom of God is demonstrated through serving others. So verse 25 through 27 of this passage today, Jesus said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So he's saying in the physical kingdom of this world, when you're in power, you tell everybody else what to do. You're in power. You have the power. You have the authority if you're up here, and you direct everything else that's going on. You're the man. Then he says those four important words: not so with you. You want to be, that's the physical kingdom. He's saying, you want to be part of my kingdom, God's kingdom. You must be, whoever is great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. So Jesus flips this physical kingdom. He flips it on his head. No, that may be the way the world works. That's not the way I work. I'm looking for humble people, servants. I ran across this story, I think it happened a little while back, but it was a New York police officer, and our police officers, we've done really well, I think, in our city of honoring our police officers, but across the nation, our police officers have been abused and unappreciated in many things. I think that's changing, but so that was the stage. In New York, there was a New York police officer. His name was Lawrence DePrimo, and he came across this. If you've been to New York City, every block is there's homeless people just laying on the sidewalk. They're everywhere. In the subway, they're just every corner you look, there's a homeless person. So this New York police officer who, and again, setting the stage with the police officers in New York, they've come to a place where there is no honor to them. You can throw your coffee on them, your Coke on them, you can spit on them, you can do whatever you, and they have to just turn around and walk away. So this police officer comes to this homeless man. He's laying on the sidewalk, and it's cold. It's a cold winter day, and he's leaning up against this storefront for this shoe store. Go ahead and show that clip. That's the actual photo. Someone saw it happening and snapped that photo. And this homeless man there, you can see he's without shoes and socks. The police officer goes into the store and buys him a thick pair of winter socks and those winter boots. You can see the boots a little bit between them right there by the homeless man's feet. And he buys them and brings those back out, and he could have just handed them to the guy, but he said to him, "I've bought you these boots and these socks. Can I help you put those on?" Because he was in pretty bad shape, I think. And he kneels down, and at that moment right there, he's putting the socks and the shoes on that homeless man. You know what, church? It's level ground at the foot of the cross. Did you know? He doesn't have favorites. The people in our culture, when we think we've attained some kind of status where we're more important than anybody else, Jesus flips all that. He said, No. You want to be in my kingdom? It's level ground at the cross. And if you're in my kingdom, you demonstrate that by serving others. And I think about, Brent and I were talking between the services, bragging on this church. I know that there are numerous servants in this church. I see it every day, people that love so many without any fanfare or recognition. You guys love well. I think God is calling us all to be, to step it up even more, to even be a more of a loving church, but because that's what gives him glory, and that's what demonstrates that we are in this kingdom of his. And then, so finally, the kingdom of God is perfectly revealed in Christ. You want to model Jesus. You want somebody to emulate Jesus. He says, and remember that right after this, you know, they're arguing about who's going to get to sit on his right and on his left in the kingdom. And he's just told this parable about the vineyard, about people getting jealous because, hey, man, I did more for the landowner than you did. You only worked 2 hours. I worked 8 hours for him. How come you're getting the same thing that I am? He tells that parable. And then he says, oh, by the way, guys, we're going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, his people, the Jews. They will condemn him to death. They will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked, flogged, crucified, and on the third day he will raise to life. In verse 28, but you know what? The Son of Man, me, Jesus is saying, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. We want to target, we want someone to emulate. His name's Jesus. I think, I guess the question, we're not automatically going to heaven, we're not automatically in God's kingdom. We must, through faith, have a relationship with a Savior. His name is Jesus. Are we part of God's kingdom? Well, that's the first question we got to answer. Are we part of? Then if we are, he flips it. The most important in the world system, the powerful have control. The powerful are just that. They're powerful. And there's nothing wrong with us, you know, wanting to do our job well and wanting to be successful. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when it begins to impact our heart and we think that we're somehow above others, that's where the problem arises. Do we wish to serve or be served? A phrase that came to me a few years ago, and I'm talking about Christendom. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about all Christians. I think there is too much of a tendency to be consumer Christians. What can Jesus do for me? What can this church do for me? Rather than what can we do to show the love of Christ? I think it's out there, that mentality of being a consumer rather than a servant. Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. If the praise team will come on up, if you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, forgive us, forgive me when I don't do the things that I'm preaching this morning. Forgive me when I think that others are somehow less than. And every single person was created in the image of you, Lord. Every single one of us. Give us that heart. Give us that heart to be a part of this upside down kingdom that you've created, that you've called us into. Help us to love well, to serve well. If there's those this morning, Lord, that don't know you, would you convict hearts? Draw people unto yourself. Your word says that if you be lifted up, you will draw all men to yourself, and you were lifted up when they placed you on the cross and they lifted you up. It's through the cross that we're drawn to you. We love you and we praise you, and we are forever, eternally grateful that you died for us and that you live right now. You're alive. We don't serve a dead God, but a living God. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close, the altar is always open. As Billy said, there'll be people to pray for you if you need prayer at the end of the service. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, don't leave this place today without visiting with me about that. Rise if you're able as we close.
I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs. And you're still the same. I believe every word that you said. Yesterday.
just a reminder, we're going to have a short little restroom break, and if you'll come back in here, we'll have our short meeting with Brent. You know, the world's systems, there's people on top, and they tell everybody else what to do. God flips that, and he says, it's not so with you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Go and serve. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.